You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Happy Tuesday to you. Per usual, we have a lot to talk about here on this podcast. Some details about Josh Allen's contract extension, some stadium news, the Bills practice yesterday, and we also heard from offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. And so I want to cover all of the highlights from all of those stories. Let's start with Josh Allen and this contract extension. I think we're all eagerly awaiting the moment where you get a notification on your phone that the Buffalo Bills have extended Josh Allen to a multi-year deal and they're going to pay him all kinds of big-time money. I'm waiting for it. You're probably waiting for it. I can't wait. I want it to happen. But it hasn't happened yet. And I guess I'm somewhat surprised by that, but I'm hopeful that it will soon. What we did learn recently is that there is a deadline on this happening this year. Brandon Bean, the Bills' general manager, told the Associated Press on Monday that he is setting a deadline of before the start of the regular season for an extension, or the discussions will be put off until next year. And this is in line with what Brandon Bean said on the opening day of training camp. He said, if it happens this year, great. If it happens next year, fine. So he's already hinted at the possibility that it doesn't get done this year. Continuing with the quote from the Associated Press, Brandon Bean said, Josh and I are in lockstep. There will be no negotiating in season. At some point, we will press the pause button. Hopefully, we can get something done this year. Josh knows. He and I have had great conversations this spring and summer about it. So if this doesn't get done before the start of the regular season, it's not getting done until after this year, which makes sense. I don't think the Bills and Josh Allen should be talking contract during the regular season. They should be fully focused on the opponents and games and tasks at hand and pick up those talks afterwards. So I am in agreement that there should be that pause button and it should not carry into the regular season. Now, when I think about Josh Allen and the comments he's made about the extension, he has not seemed anxious about it at all. Sean McDermott has routinely expressed his confidence that it gets done. All indications are that Josh Allen wants to be in Buffalo. The Bills believe that he is the guy and that both parties want a deal done. So to me, it's just a matter of when and not if. But if we're being honest about this, waiting until after the season is likely better for Josh Allen. Right now, when it comes to negotiating, the Bills have the leverage point of, you know, we really like you, we believe in you, but there's only been one season of elite production. If Josh Allen goes out there and stacks another year in 2021 like he had last year, the guy enters Patrick Mahomes territory. I mean, it's that special. If he builds off of last season, which we all expect him to do, that contract price only goes up with another year of elite production. The only risk is injury. And a significant injury could complicate things, but it didn't for Dak Prescott. He went out there and played a few games, was out for the year, and still signed a massive contract extension that made him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So there is that point to bring up if we are concerned about the risk of injuries as it relates to the contract extension for Josh Allen on the Josh Allen side of things. But look, maybe it does. Maybe it happens early in the season. There isn't the evidence that you're looking for that he's building upon the 2020 season and you're uneasy about it. The Bills still have Josh Allen under contract through 2022 because, of course, they picked up the fifth-year option on that deal. So as much as we want to see this get done, they have time, and I'm not panicking. When you have a bunch of people that are like-minded and want the same thing, I have confidence that this will get done. Here's the thing, though. This is what I always go back to. If he's your guy, if you believe that Josh Allen is your guy, get it done now. Get it done now if you can. Josh honestly might be totally fine waiting because of the reasons we mentioned, that this contract could become astronomical. It's already going to be massive. It's already going to be likely paying him as a top three player in the NFL. But if he goes out and balls out again to the level he did last year or builds upon that, or if the Bills win the Super Bowl, we're talking about a Patrick Mahomes-like contract extension. Again, this is a matter of when and not if, but it is interesting to know that there is a deadline when it comes to this contract getting done, or it doesn't happen until after the season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and the UFC. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's get into some of the practice recaps on what happened during Monday's session. And again, a big shout out to the outstanding Buffalo Bills beat reporters that put together practice recaps and give us information to break down and reflect upon. Let's start with participation. Stephon Diggs was back on the practice field on Monday. He was resting the last 2 days, and so he was back in action. Ike Bakker and Deion Dawkins did not practice because they are still in COVID protocol, but both were on the sidelines, and so that is very encouraging. Jerry Hughes is still out with a calf strain, and Jacob Hollister continues to miss practice with a back injury. Now, we did have a new player that didn't practice, and that is offensive lineman Forrest Lamp, and the reason why is unknown. So it could be injury-related, could be a personal reason, but Forrest Lamp did not practice on Monday. And then also, Emmanuel Sanders took a rest day when it came to the team drills. He was there, he was dressed, but for the team drills, he did not participate, which is giving these wide receivers opportunities to get more reps with the first team. And this wide receiver battle has become the most interesting part of training camp for me. I am so interested in finding out how many they keep, who they keep, and obviously who they don't keep, because there are so many different skill sets. There are so many different reasons why guys should make the roster, and I can't wait to see it shake out. This is what I'm dialed into. We might have to do a full wide receiver podcast really talking about the strengths and weaknesses of these players and, you know, figuring out what the trump cards are for these guys, because there's a lot of talent and there's going to be a player that doesn't make the team that probably should, but there's a numbers issue when it comes to that situation. So with Emmanuel Sanders not participating in team work, the beneficiaries of that were Gabriel Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, and Jake Kumerow. They got more run with the first team with Sanders out, which is interesting because we know that they got the reps, but to me it's also interesting who didn't get the reps: Marquez Stevenson and Isaiah Hodgins. Now, we saw that awesome play on the deep throw from Mitch Trubisky to Isaiah Hodgins where he got behind Dane Jackson and made a big play down the field, which was really encouraging for Isaiah Hodgins, but it's still been pretty quiet when it comes to positive reports regarding Hodgins. And, you know, with the pads coming on this week, it's going to be sink or swim time for Hodgins, because that was my big holdup with him, right? Like, the route running's there, the hands are there, but How does he handle physicality and contact when it is introduced as a route runner, whether that's at the line of scrimmage, the top of routes, during his route stems? That's where things came off the rails for him at Oregon State, and it's a bigger test in the NFL. So preseason's going to be big for him, and so will how he fares when the pads come on, which is tomorrow. Let's talk about Josh Allen. All the reports on Josh from Monday were that he was outstanding, and that comes after a pretty average practice on Saturday. So three really good practices to start the year. The fourth one on Saturday was average, and sounds like he was on a heater on Monday. I guess the first play of teamwork was an incomplete pass, but then he went on to complete 17 consecutive throws. Cole Beasley caught six of them. He hit deep balls to Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley. So Josh Allen back to the hot hand and looking sharp and crisp and the offense doing its thing. And, you know, it sounded like even Mitchell Trubisky and Jake Fromm had good days throwing the football. So an all-around good day for the Bills quarterbacks. And, of course, the most important of them is 17, and he looked good with 17 straight completions during teamwork. Let's go to the defensive tackle position and reflect on some of the things that Joe Viscalia with The Athletic said. Really broke it down in a way that I see it. You know, you have Vernon Butler, Justin Zimmer, and Harrison Phillips. They are all competing for what I think is two roster spots. I think two of those three are going to make the team, and that means that one will be cut. And Joe B very clearly stated that Justin Zimmer has been the best so far at camp. And that lines up with what Leslie Frazier said when he met the media over the weekend and talked about how this guy does everything they want him to do. His attitude's great, lunch pail guy, has the right mindset for practice and meetings, and simply said that he's going to be a tough cut. Joe B also said that Harrison Phillips has struggled and has had issues getting off contact. He even mentioned Phillips as a trade candidate, which is interesting to me because I don't really know what type of value he would have. Third round pick, you know, 3 years ago, year four, contract year, has been a backup reserve defensive tackle that has had a few positive moments, but for the most part been either injured or below average. So I don't know what type of trade value he would have, but I thought that was interesting that Joe B brought that up in his article recapping practice on Monday. So, you know, maybe this is Vernon Butler and Justin Zimmer. I mean, I could see it being any combination of those two. But like I said yesterday on the podcast, what does Vernon Butler bring to the table outside of just being big? Like, he is the biggest defensive lineman on the team by 30-something pounds. But outside of just being big, what does he bring? We'll see. You know, I'm anxious to see how Phillips looks in preseason games and Zimmer and Butler. I'm nervous that because Butler is a long-established guy with Eric Washington, and he was part of that defense in Carolina with Sean McDermott, and Brandon Bean was part of the front office that picked him in the first round. They restructured his deal. I mean, all the signs are there that he's going to make this team, but I'd be really disappointed if Phillips and Zimmer are just flat out better and they keep him for those reasons. Also on the defensive line, Matthew Perino of Syracuse.com and Joe Viscalia both spoke very highly of A.J. Epenesa and Gregory Rousseau. Again, looking good. And I start to think about this young trio of defensive ends. Obviously, Epenesa and Rousseau, who I just mentioned, but also Carlos Basham, the Bills' second-round pick this year. And if these three guys can be the truth, that would mean so much for this defense, for Buffalo to have a trio of young defensive ends that can impact the game as pass rushers and run defenders, and to have all those guys on rookie contracts for the next three seasons. What that would mean for the makeup of the roster and for the effectiveness of the Bills defense, it's so critical. And there's a lot that needs to happen. These guys still have to prove themselves. I mean, Rousseau and Basham have never taken a snap in an NFL game. We need to see that Epenesa can build off of what he showed at the end of last year and be more confident and play faster and show he's comfortable with his new body composition. But if that trio can be the truth, wow, would that mean a lot for this Bills defense. Let's talk quickly about CB2. And this is a theme that continues to build early in camp. And Joe Biscaglia really dug into how up and down Dane Jackson has been so far in camp, especially on Monday. As I mentioned earlier, he got beat by Isaiah Hodgins on a deep ball. Joe B. also said that he was late to react to a pass that Gabriel Davis caught and was able to create some after the catch. And just simply said, Levi Wallace has outperformed Dane Jackson to this point. So as the incumbent, as the guy that has had success opposite of Tre'Davious White for multiple seasons now, Dane Jackson had to be better than Levi Wallace to win that job, because you know what you have in Levi. Dane Jackson had to force the issue and be flat out better. And so far, that doesn't sound like that's been the case. And for a Bills defense with high expectations, with, you know, a lot of familiarity together, especially on the back seven, where, you know, Milano Edmonds, Johnson, Wallace, White, Poyer, Hyde, I mean, those guys have been together for a long time. Are you really going to shake that up to put in a streaky Dane Jackson? I don't think that's going to be the case. So the narrative has to change quickly here if Dane Jackson is going to unseat Levi Wallace at CB2. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto, a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions like, is your Odyssey a LX or an EX, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and right in your pocket. Save time and save money when using rockauto.com. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you're right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need over at rockauto.com. All right, let's close out the podcast today by reflecting on some of the comments made by Brian Daboll that I found interesting. And then lastly, some comments on the stadium talks and some of the updates that have come through recently. So Brian Daboll, he met with the media for about 20 minutes, and I'll tell you what, this guy was in mid-season form when it comes to coach speak. There wasn't a whole lot that I can pull out of this press conference, and I listen very keenly for things that pop and things that can give us some perspective and, you know, insight into the way he's viewing things. But man, it was tough to really find those things. So here's what I got for you. He started off with a good question from, I believe, Sal Capaccio on Ken Dorsey becoming the passing game coordinator. And he basically just said he's instrumental in developing Josh and game planning and that they're fortunate to have him. But it was cool to see Daboll give credit to Dorse for some of Josh Allen's development and saying that he's been instrumental, and obviously from the game planning perspective as well, and that's why he's getting this opportunity to coordinate the passing game. But overall, just the Bills have what seems to be really good synergy between their offensive coaching staff, and you know, Daboll was very complimentary of all of his guys, and it just makes you feel good about the leadership and coaching that goes into a offense that has a lot to prove this year, because they were so good last year and everyone wants to know what they're going to do for an encore and how they're going to stay ahead of how defenses are going to attack them with a full off season to study the tape and figure out a plan, which of course was something he was asked about. And this is what Daboll said about staying ahead of defenses. He said, it's the same every year. The offseason is about studying the league, colleges, high schools to stay ahead of the trends. You have to evaluate yourself. You have to figure out what we do well. And he said the pads are coming on and that will help. And, you know, he straight up said, we don't know what we're going to be on offense yet. And said, we're constantly trying to evolve. They're still tinkering and trying things out to see what works. And then he had a quote that I absolutely love. He said, offensive football is execution football. Defenses are reactive, which goes back to something that I believe in. It doesn't matter what play you call. If it's a run play, a pass play, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what you call. If you execute it, the defense can't stop it. And so while the Bills should be very concerned with how defenses are going to catch up to what they did offensively, and they need to evolve and implement new personnel groupings and play concepts, the reality is if you execute, it doesn't matter. You can't stop it. And, you know, look, I didn't play football at a high level, but I remember in high school, we talked all the time about the offensive line going up to the line of scrimmage. And if you were in doubt about what your job was to do, like, get up there and just talk about it. Say, hey, I'm blocking him. We're, you know, doing these things. Because even if the defense knows where the ball is going, if you do your job, if you hit those blocks, it's not going to matter. Offensive football is execution football. That is a quote that I absolutely love from Brian Daboll. He also said something that I thought was interesting, because I have been a champion for the idea of Spencer Brown filling the Lee Smith role as a blocking tight end. And, you know, he's not going to start this year. He's not going to unseat Deion Dawkins or Darrell Williams at tackle. But as a third round pick, he can provide value as the swing tackle, the backup to both positions, but also as a blocking tight end. And, you know, he played eight-man football in high school where he was a tight end. And you think about Lee Smith, nobody really cared about him as a pass catcher. He would catch a few passes every year. But for the most part, he was an asset as an elite blocking tight end. And I think Spencer Brown can do that for the team this year. And so he said, we ask our offensive linemen to understand the other person's responsibility, whether you're a center and can play guard, a tackle and play big tight end, or inside. He came out and said big tight end. So look, little nugget there that leads me to believe maybe this could happen. Maybe Spencer Brown could be on the field when they want to have a blocking tight end, which is significant because it takes the pressure off, in my mind, to roster four tight ends. You can get away with just three and keep an extra receiver. So that's where my mind's at with that. On Cody Ford at right guard, Brian Daboll specifically mentioned continuity playing between Mitch Morse and Darrell Williams. So, again, this thought that I've been having regarding the reason why he's at right guard being that, you know, it's Bobby Hart and Spencer Brown at left tackle, John Feliciano probably a better option to be in a spot where he's playing next to a lesser experienced player in the system, and that it's a benefit to Cody Ford to play between Mitch Morse and Darrell Williams, who have time on task and familiarity. So, again, I'm still interested to see how the lineup shakes up when Dawkins and Bakker are back in. And then lastly, on Reggie Gilliam and what he thinks about him as a player and how he can help the team this year, Brian Daboll said it will be an important preseason for him. He has done a good job for us in the kicking game, and we'll see if he has a role on the offense, and that will be up to him. So while Daboll doesn't give you much, if you listen to him enough, you can really find the distinction between players like Gabriel Davis and Isaiah McKenzie and Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders. The way he talks about them as sure things on the offense compared to the Reggie Gilliams of the world and the Jake Kumaros of the world. Even when he was talking about Jake Kumaro, he said, look, it's going to be an important preseason for us, and he's a good player in the kicking game for us. You know, you could definitely glean something from the tone and manner in which he speaks about certain players. And, you know, he was complimentary of Reggie Gilliam in terms of the type of player he is and the type of skills that he has and the value that he brings to the team. But he straight up said, we'll see if he has a role on the offense, and that will be up to him. So Reggie Gilliam, very far from a roster lock. The last thing I want to mention today and get into is the stadium talks and some of the information that has come out recently. The big headline is that the Buffalo News reported that the Pegulas are seeking at least $1.1 billion for a new stadium in Orchard Park and made clear to government negotiators that There are other cities elsewhere that desire an NFL franchise and would pay handsomely for the stadium. And then ESPN had an unnamed source that reported Austin, Texas, as a possible site for relocation. And this has caused an uproar on social media. I've seen many takes that the Pegulas, who are worth more than $5 billion, should foot the bill. I've seen other people say that they are glad to see that their tax dollars will finally go towards something they care about. Here's what I will say. Everything that is happening right now is very normal when it comes to these types of negotiations. It is the very start of the negotiations. Let it play out. Don't ride the roller coaster. It's all about finding leverage spots and trying to get as much as possible from the other party. So look, don't get bent out of shape over this. It's negotiations. It'll play out. The Bills aren't going anywhere. They're not going to Austin, Texas. I beg of you, don't drive yourself crazy with this. Folks, tomorrow, Tuesday, the pads come on at practice. This is when we can really learn some stuff about this football team, especially with the offensive and defensive lines. Brandon Bean came out and said that was what he was looking forward to most when it comes to this training camp, was the offense and defensive line and seeing those battles play out. And now the pads are coming on, and we're going to learn some stuff about this football team. I think some of the narratives are going to start to shift when it comes to who's standing out and who is struggling. It's going to be fun, and the most meaningful takeaways are still yet to come. And so, of course, we're going to break it all down for you right here on the podcast. So make sure that you're subscribed, rate, review, and share the podcast. I hope you have an awesome day, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.